Hi, I'm Rhys Jones and welcome to my latest podcast. The podcast today is on why a recruiter pays so bloody much. The reason why I'm doing this podcast is I did a post recently on LinkedIn on this particular subject and it got a lot of attention. 1,000 likes, 130 comments, 35 shares. The majority was from recruiters backing up my arguments as to why recruiters aren't paid so bloody much. They're paid what they're worth. The commercial world dictates that people are paid for what they're worth unless you're working in the non-corporate world, and recruitment business owners are incredibly savvy and they're not going to pay out money unnecessarily. They don't run charities, they run commercial businesses, so we are paid what we're worth. But nevertheless, there were a few comments on there, such as Parasite and various other ones from people who don't work in recruitment, but obviously we just ignore those people. But anyway, there was some very good comments that were made by recruiters that I hadn't put in the post itself as to why recruiters get paid a good salary, because there's no doubt we do get paid a good salary, but we do earn it. So I wanted to run through some of those points. But just to give you some background, the reason why I did the post is, as I explained in the post, is there was a friend of mine going back when I was a recruiter, so it's over 20 years ago. Said to me, you know, why do recruiters get paid so bloody much? And this particular friend of mine, she was a neighbour, and she was a PhD student, so she'd never worked in the commercial environment. She was from academia. And also, to be fair to her, when she asked me what I did, I kind of belittled it, because that's not who I am. I don't try and big up who I am. And I'd simply said, it's jobs for people for jobs, and a lot of it's just talking on the phone. I did then, when she said, why do you get paid so much, she explained a bit more. And she wasn't being funny at all. She had a lot of respect for me, even to the point where she invited me to a dinner one night as a guest, along with a lot of professors and PhD students, which I said I'd stick it like a sore thumb because I left school at 15 with virtually no qualifications. But she did say I'm one of the, well, was one of the smartest, savvy people that she knew. And a lot of academic people aren't actually that bright. But there you go. Anyway, back to the reasons why recruiters are paid a good salary. And my personal favourite is the fact that recruiters can make money. And when I say that, you give a recruiter a computer and a phone and then say, off you go, and they make money. So the recruiter has to come in every day and find candidates that clients are going to want. They've got to find vacancies that candidates are going to go for. They've got to decide which jobs they work on, which candidates they work on, or which ones are going to make money. If you get a vacancy, then you've got to go out and you've got to find people for it. It's, you know, you've got to make money. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast will agree with me that they'll have spotted some recruiters in the past that maybe are very bright, great personal skills, know all the skills you need to be a recruiter, like registering vacancies, doing new business calls, etc. And they don't make much money, that money, or even fail. Yet there's other recruiters that don't seem to do an awful lot, may not be the brightest button in the box, and they make loads of money. And that's the thing, that's what you're paying for as a business owner, a recruiting business owner, are people to make money. And that's what recruiters do. You make money from nothing. You come in every day with a computer and a phone and you make money from nothing. And that's what you get paid for. It's that innate ability to make money. And that is why recruits are paid well, because as a recruitment business owner, if you take an experienced recruiter, then 9 times out of 10, you're buying revenue. They can move their business over to you. And a recruiter tends to get paid 30% of what they bill, or roughly a third. So if a recruiter's doing 150 grand, you pay them 50, 100 grand left over. So why wouldn't you pay them well? So that is, for me, one of the major reasons. But also, recruiters are very entrepreneurial, because their desk, it's a business, which is why it's a lot easier for recruiters to set up their own business than it is in the vast majority of the markets, because you kind of run a business anyway, because you're running your desk. You know, you're finding your product, which is your candidate, they're finding the vacancies, and you're putting the two together. So to make the step from doing it in somebody else's office to in your own office, it's quite a small leap. And that, to be fair, is another reason why recruiters are paid well, is because if business owners don't pay them well, they either leave and go to other recruitment companies, or recruiters set up on their own. Because if you're generating 150 grand a year and your employer is keeping 100 grand, at some point you might think, well, why don't I keep the vast majority of that? Because the running costs for a recruitment business, you don't have to buy products, you don't have to buy warehouses, there's no R&D. You know, the running costs are low, which is why, now, I'm a convert, obviously, because I set up businesses for a living. But that is a big factor in why recruiters are paid well. But also, if you bear in mind that, you know, as a sales job, which ours is, it is a sales job. I had a discussion with somebody on the LinkedIn feed on whether it is a sales job. And I said, without doubt, it's a sales job. It's finessed. It's certainly grown and it's evolved. It's had to evolve. So it's more of a consultancy style job now. And the way I explain how we sell now, it is that consultative sell. Because people don't like being sold to, they like to buy. So you need to help your client and your candidates to buy by understanding what their need is and helping them make the decision to buy your solution. And there's a lot involved in that because you are, if you're working on behalf of a client, you're selling a product that can say no. So, you know, it's the candidate. Call them a product, I know, then desensitizes it. But at the end of the day, you're selling something. You can take them to market. You can get the interest. You can get the job that they say they want. But then they could turn in and say no. No, their current employers can buy them back. So it makes it a very, very difficult job. But also the job is completely transparent. You are only as good as your figures. So as much as with a lot of industries and non-commercial jobs, maybe local government, whatever, you can appear to be good and you can be good at politics. Within recruitment, that is reduced dramatically, certainly as a desk recruiter, because as much as your employers will judge you on maybe on KPIs and some of your behaviours in the office and your culture and other contributions, the modern day recruitment business owner does take into account all these other factors, but the bottom line is you've got to bill and you've got to bill well. And no matter how nice you are and how great you are to the office, if you go through now 3-6 months and don't bill, you're gone. So there's a lot of pressure to bill in, year out. And I did see a statistic many years ago that 6 years tended to be the maximum that people would last in recruitment. But if you lasted past 6 years, you were in it for life then. Because after 6 years, a lot of people just get burnt out because it is relentless. It is a tough job. It's not so much necessarily the hours, which we do long hours because we take calls at night, we do emails at night, you know, check in LinkedIn, there's a lot of hours involved. But it's that relentless week in, week out, month in, month out, making money. And it is taxing. There's no doubt it is a high-pressure job, which is one of the reasons why I think a lot of recruiters enjoy it, and it's certainly why I enjoyed it, because everybody likes a certain amount of pressure. And the way I describe it to business owners or recruiters is if you imagine a rev counter on a car, most people work well within a certain level. So let's say a Ferrari has 12,000 revs or a Nissan Micra 4,000 revs. If you're the sort of person that maybe looks in a library, for argument's sake, you're more like a Nissan Micra. You're going to want the pressure of maybe 4,000 revs. But as a recruiter, you're going to work better with more pressure. You're going to prefer to rev high. Not the greatest analogy, but it's the best way I can explain it. If you're in a job where there's no pressure, but you're a recruitment consultant, you get bored. You know, because at my first job in recruitment lasted 3 months, absolute haste, everybody was getting sacked left, right and centre. Went to another job, internal sales job. I was bored to death. And I wanted the pressure. I enjoyed it. I thrived on it. It's a bit like, I don't know, professional sports people. They thrive on that pressure. But it is tiring. You know, and it can get to the point where you just simply get burnt out and you decide to change the sectors. So that's another reason why recruiters are paid well, because, you know, to keep your people in the industry, you've got to pay them well. But it's generating that cash. And it's also having to constantly evolve because there's no barrier to entry in recruitment. You don't need any particular background in recruitment. So you can join the industry from any form of work and succeed. So because of that, there's constantly a flow of new people coming in that could have that je ne sais quoi of ability to make money that you're competing with. And recruitment companies understand that the more staff they have, if those people are successful, the more money they make. So you're constantly trying to take people on. You know, some companies have extreme recruitment methods where they'll hire 30 people and maybe only 5 will survive, and which does mean that, you know, the people that are left are very, very good, and you're constantly battling with that competition, and that competition is always evolving. So you've got to keep on top of the new marketing techniques. You've got to keep on top of the new social media techniques. And you're constantly battling against people that are approaching your clients on a regular basis. And it's difficult for your clients to say no, because if they get a phone call from a recruitment consultant that's got a great candidate, they're going to want to listen. So you're constantly fighting off the competitors. So you know, I don't want to make out that it's like living in a jungle, but I suppose it is to a degree. And that's one of the reasons why we get paid what we're paid. But also, it's not just a sales job. You've got to be able to empathize. You've got to be able to tease information out of clients. You've got to have the confidence to be able to tell clients when they're wrong, because you're the expert in recruitment, not them. And one of the best ways to get respect from your clients is having the guts to turn around and say no, or walk away from a vacancy and stand up to them. But also, if you are a really good modern day recruiter, your focus will be on service and delivery. So we're very, very good at sales, and we've had to evolve that sales and finesse it. But also, our customer service has to be spot on. Our delivery has to be spot on. If you're a hit and run recruiter, eventually you'll run out of clients. You know, I'm sure you've seen some recruiters that, you know, they take vacancies on, place bad candidates, give bad service, and eventually they have to leave the market. But if you want to be really successful with recruitment consultant nowadays, your customer service has to be spot on. It's all about quality. It's giving your clients quality. And if you give your clients quality and have the courage to tell them when they're wrong and stand up to them, they'll see you as a peer. And if they see you as a peer, that's when you know you've got them. That's when that client is going to stick with you. And then it makes the job so much more enjoyable, because those peers quite often become friends. You get the respect. And if you get the respect and you get them as peers, then, you know, you tend to get a tremendous amount of loyalty. So you don't need to do much new business. You could be reliant on clients that value you. And that's the sort of competitive environment we are in the recruitment industry, because all recruiters are trying to find loyal clients. So they're all trying to give world-class service. So if you're going to a new client that's got world-class service, you've got to show them you're better than their current recruitment consultant. And your current recruitment consultant that's working for them is going to be good because they work with them. So it is a really, really competitive sector. So that's another reason why, as recruiters, you know, we're not overpaid. We're paid what we're worth. And the disrespect that we get sometimes from the sort of people that posted it on my post that called us parasites, etc., they don't really understand what the job is. It's as simple as that. It's not their fault. Until you work in recruitment, you don't really understand what it is. I mean, I set up recruitment business for a living. That's what I do. And I get a tremendous amount of inquiries from people without recruitment backgrounds saying they want to set up a recruitment business. And each time I say, you've got to work in a recruitment business to find out if you enjoy it, and more than that, if you're any good at it. Because if you think it's easy, it's not. It's not as simple as going on LinkedIn as you think it is and finding candidates and then ringing up clients. You know, it's not quite as simple as that. There's a lot more finesse to it, and it's incredibly competitive. And to have the arrogance to think that you could walk into a brand new industry and be successful. I mean, the recruitment industry turns over more than the toy industry in the UK. You know, it's a huge industry. And as recruiters, British recruiters are respected worldwide. If you're looking at the US, or you're looking at the Far East or the Middle East, there's an awful lot of British recruiters out there, because we are seen as the best of the best. And we are. You know, something we should be proud of as British recruiters. We are the best in the world at what we do. Why that is, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But we are, and it's something we should be proud of. So that's the end of my podcast. I'm not going to go on reams and reams of how great we are. But we are. We should give ourselves a pat on the back. You know, it's a difficult job. And if you're good at it, you can earn more than the Prime Minister. There was somebody on the post that suggested only 1% of recruiters would earn more than the Prime Minister. Well, I beg to differ, and I did tell the person that. I did a post a while ago on how much is the average pay that a recruiter gets. And of that, I think it was 25% is more than 100K, and 26% people said that not enough. So if you take out that 26%, then it's probably more like about 30-40% earn more than 100 grand a year. So I'd like to think there's a reasonable chunk of those that earn more than a Prime Minister. Not a job I would do as Prime Minister. Not saying he's doing a great job. I think we'll all agree he isn't doing a great job. But certainly it's not a job I would want, and the stress that goes with that, I'd much rather a recruitment consultant. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Check out some of the other ones. If you are interested in hearing more, you can obviously follow me on the various podcast channels like Spotify, etc. Or you can simply send me a message with your email address. We have a mailing list for our new blogs, new podcasts. We don't spam people. You'll get one or two emails a month at most, but that means that you'll get the podcast and the blogs first before anyone else. And I hope you enjoyed it. Speak to you soon.